Welcome to another edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments and new paradigms as our community emerges from a long period of difficult challenges and creative adaptations. Siobhan Canty is away today, so I'll be here solo. Child care is a very demanding job, and generally, providers earn low wages. And the industry itself operates on thin margins. There have been few government subsidies for child care and no public school for kids under 5 years. And most parents are pretty much on their own. And child care has been in a crisis mode for quite some time in this country. In our communities, we have some exceptionally dedicated folks who are working to help solve what has become a crisis. Two wonderful examples of our community's array of good people doing good work are here today to have a discussion about what they and their colleagues are forecasting and doing about solving this challenge. Dunia Foe, Executive Director of Population Health and Advocacy and Analytics, has been at Jefferson Healthcare since 2016, working on population health initiatives across the organization. The types of portfolios that she and her team work on include housing, food access, social isolation, and early life, including child care. She also supports advocacy and data departments of the hospital. She has a master's in public health from the University of Washington in global health and a bachelor's degree in anthropology and psychology from the University of Colorado Boulder. Dunia and her partner Max have a toddler named Cora, and they all hang out with their two dogs, Pearl and Hobbs. Kate Dean makes my head spin with her committee, subcommittee, board, and council affiliations. She was elected to the Jefferson County Board of Commissioners in 2017. She moved to rural Jefferson County in late 1990s as a young farmer and entrepreneur committed to growing local food economy. And she was a co-founder of Old Tarboo Farm, Finn River Farm, and Mount Townsend Creamery. After leaving the farm, Kate started a consulting firm with an eye on projects that leverage public, private, and nonprofit resources to find innovative solutions to complex rural issues. Kate holds her master's in public administration from the Evans School of Public Policy and Governance at the University of Washington. Kate Dean and Dunia Foe, welcome to Community Tides.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Happy to be here, Chris. Thanks.
Well, this is a big subject to talk about, and lots of ways we can go with this. We couldn't find two better people to be spokespersons for all of the teams that are working on this challenge here in the county. But first, I think what I would like you to do, maybe Dunia and Kate, you chime in afterwards. Paint us a landscape of child care in general here in the county. What are we facing? What are the options of working families?
Absolutely. So there's a huge need for child care in our community. The Department of Children, Youth, and Family Services, DCYF, anticipates that there's about 645 kiddos under the age of five that need child care, and about 130 of those are currently being served. It's even more dire for infants and toddlers, where we see an even bigger need. There's roughly 20 infant childcare slots in our county, with only four of those that are specifically dedicated to infants. Our birth rates are between 150 to 200 births a year, which means there's not a lot of spots for those newborns for parents to take care of. Really, we are in a childcare desert. Whenever we're looking at the landscape of options, we have one dedicated child care center, which is Cedarbrook in Port Hadlock, and they have spots for 65 children. Additionally, there's a multitude of really amazing options that are in-home child care, such as Dragonfly Daycare. The Y has an amazing program, OLECAP Head Start programs, and the Peninsula Preschool Co-op. We also have a lot of really lovely preschools that offer part-time options as well, often 9 to 1 or 9 to 3. These are really great places that help provide kindergarten readiness and other high quality needs that children have, but it doesn't work really well for our working families, especially at the hospital whenever we have 12-hour shifts. So those short programs aren't really good for us. Other than that, a lot of families cobble things together. So they use nanny shares, they partner with other families, creative co-op methods, coming together to fund a childcare person to take care of their kids with other families. So it's really relying on external families as well. So in-laws or grandparents. It's a really, really dark scene here for childcare in our community.
How many slots do we need in Jefferson County? How many do we actually have? You can repeat
those numbers. Those numbers are so hard to anticipate. Like I said, we need 645 and we have about 130. So we're looking at a huge gap of about 500 slots for the under fives. That being said, those numbers are difficult to anticipate what we're looking at. Jefferson Healthcare did a needs assessment that was funded by the Department of Commerce last year, and those are the numbers that we found as well. So we're looking at a really big gap here in our community of 400 to 500 slots.
Kate, you want to chime in from your point of view as a District 1 commissioner? What are you seeing?
Thanks, Danielle, for the great data. I think you summarized really well the situation on the ground. If I could just zoom out a little bit and say how glad I am that we're having this conversation. Now, I have older teenagers, and when I was trying to get back into the workforce, which is a real challenge because of lack of childcare action, we weren't really talking about childcare. It was a private matter and largely fell on moms, frankly. So it's great that we're talking about it. It's great that it is now seen and understood as the economic development issue that it is, that when we can't get half of our workforce back into paid work, that has really significant costs. And I hear this everywhere. I remember Senator Murray saying to me a few years ago, finally, even in Congress, we're talking about childcare. And it took there being enough women in Congress to bring that conversation before. So, you know, it takes a crisis. I think we recognize that COVID had a huge impact on our workforce and on childcare. It took that crisis and more and more women getting into positions of power to say, hey, this is about our economy. This isn't just about how women get their work covered at home.
It does have a domino effect, doesn't it? Dunia, what do you see from your vantage point, which is very broad because of what you oversee?
One of the things that my partner here at Jefferson Healthcare, Dr. Molly Parker, who is my physician dyad and has been working on childcare since we started the department in 2016, always says is that we all depend on someone who depends on childcare. So it is integral to everything that we are doing. Really, we've been working on it for a long time before the pandemic, but whenever COVID-19 broke out, that's whenever we saw this need become unbelievable. The community was phenomenal in coming together to build solutions for us so we could keep workforce here at the hospital to keep taking care of our community without the Y, without the schools and the churches offering their space and their support, trying to figure out ways to cobble this together for us. We wouldn't have been able to continue to take care of our community members and our patients here. So it is a really, really dire issue. I'd like to echo Kate's sentiments. I am glad that we're talking about this, and Kate and I talk about it regularly. I have a two-year-old I need childcare to help take care of her, and it was really hard to find that option. So it is something that is both personal and professional for me.
All of this swirl of discussion that's going on right now around jobs and women's rights and voters' rights and just the whole mishmash of things really bring to mind to me this incredible domino effect when women in the workforce are not respected for what they do and not paid enough to be able to afford childcare. It just seems like the dominoes keep falling because, you know, you have people that are trying to provide, but they're operating on very thin margins, as I said before. And so what kinds of solutions are we looking at to try to get around all of that?
Chris, if I could just put a point on what you're saying. You know, even as recently as January of this year, there were still literally hundreds of thousands of women leaving the workforce because of uncertainty around childcare availability. And, you know, for so long, we have operated as a society with women being the default for providing that kind of care at home. And, you know, when you get into the issue of cost of childcare, often it doesn't make sense for a woman to return to the workforce when quality care is going to eat up almost all of her wages or salary. So, again, we do see this kind of snowballing effect. And then we think long term about what would be the effect of women leaving the workforce for, you know, 5-10 years at a time to raise children, that's astronomical and absorbed by families themselves. But the cost of childcare is a huge issue, and I just do want to put in a plug before we talk about solutions that, like housing and childcare and housing, are really the two greatest challenges in our economic development right now in terms of being able to attract and retain workers here, especially families, working-age folks. But the cost of childcare, I just want to say we really need to be honest about the fact that it needs to be subsidized, and that is in order to be able to train workers in the childcare industry, to be able to pay them enough, and to be able to give families peace of mind that there's really quality care being provided. But that can't take up all of their disposable income. It needs to be subsidized, especially for folks at the lower end of the wage scale. Virginia, do you want to tee up the work we've done on a proposal for a new childcare facility?
Absolutely. I would like to echo Kate saying the thing about the subsidy. So since COVID-19 broke out, Jefferson Healthcare has been subsidizing our employees with their childcare needs to make sure that they are able to come to work and feel good about putting their kiddo in a childcare center and can afford that. That being said, it shouldn't only be on the employers to do that, because a lot of employers in our community can't afford that. And I think that we're really lucky that we can here at the hospital. So I echo that need for sure, but it needs to come from somewhere that is sustainable and ongoing and is really prioritizing our young working families as much as possible. We've done a lot of work around childcare here at the hospital, but really this has been a community initiative, and the Jefferson Community Foundation and the county have been integral in bringing together the parties that are working on childcare. I'm happy to talk a little bit about the childcare network now, or we could talk about it later. Chris, what do you prefer?
Well, that's fine. You can talk about it now, but I'm going to echo again this whole need for subsidies. I mean, it's for the common good, and that to me is where government comes into play.
And at some point on this call, I'd love to talk a little bit about how important high quality childcare is for community health, economic health, and workforce in this community too. And there's amazing data on the impact of high quality childcare throughout the lifespan as well, which is really fascinating research that has been done and is actually currently ongoing in Illinois right now, where they're looking at the impact of high quality childcare and tracking a cohort over time to see what happens to those kids. So the Jefferson Community Foundation, if we want to jump to the childcare network, really, it was set up to help understand what are the childcare needs in our communities and what is everyone doing about it. So the hospital has been working on it for the last 6 years, but really we didn't want to be in any way redundant, because there's no room for that in our community. We have to partner with one another. There can't be competition or redundancy. So that was set up by Jefferson Community Foundation to bring all of the players to the table to work on this work. There are some childcare providers there. It's in the middle of the day, so that's a little bit difficult, but the Y is consistently there. The county, the city, EDC has been invited, Jefferson Healthcare is there as well, and really just sharing our learnings and making sure that we're all on the same page about how to move forward. There's a multitude of different options that are being pushed forward. One of them is Jefferson Healthcare's initiative, which we're partnering really closely with the Y, the county, and both school districts on, that is looking up standing up a new childcare center that would have 40 slots, 8 dedicated infant slots here. And so we have received a few commerce grants from the state, which have been amazing. We are hopeful recipients of an appropriations through the county from Senator Murray's appropriations request that went in earlier this year, which is amazing work. And Kate, if you wanted to talk more about that, I'd be happy to support you in that conversation. But really, any way that we can get more childcare into the community is critical for the economic and community health of Jefferson County.
God, we could come back and talk about this on many, many different subjects. But in the meantime, Kate, your input right now, and then the thoughts you've been holding there, Dunia.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say it's been a great effort with many stakeholders, and we've been successful in getting some funding and to help do this needs assessment and really lay out the next steps for a project along the lines that Dunia was talking about. You know, this is one of those issues where people like to think that the market will take care of the need, and that is not the case. And that's for lots of reasons. Childcare does not pencil, barely pencils anywhere, but much less in a rural community with low wages like ours. So we are seeking significant funding from the feds and from the state. And luckily, you know, there's a lot of funds coming down right now from those places, and we're being really proactive in trying to seek that. The county has also dedicated some of its ARPA funding to this project specifically. So I feel hopeful that, you know, this is a solution for about 40 slots. We know that is not enough. And so we really need to be thinking creatively about how we support child care providers in the public and private sector to advance. But I would love to get back to some of the data Jeannie was talking about, because it's really fascinating when you think about the investment when we choose to, as a society, subsidize in really high quality child care and very early education. That pays in dividends for generations. So, Jeannie, I don't know if you have some of that data at your fingertips, but I find it really fascinating.
I have some really high level, just as we always say in population health, early life lasts a lifetime, and high quality childcare supports kindergarten readiness, which then will support overall school performance. And economically, there's really compelling evidence that good school performance means you're going to have a stronger workforce. So this is early life lasts a lifetime. It's going to start here with our childcare and then go on for the rest of our life for our community. I think this is intimately tied up in our housing crisis as well. So I echoed what Kate had said about that, that if we don't have housing for our childcare workers, then we can't provide childcare to the people who are doing everything else in the community. So that is critical. And please continue to educate ourselves on this issue and how huge it is. And I'm always happy to come back and talk about all the data, because that is my favorite thing to do.
I would just love to say, you know, we are the oldest median age county in the state, one of the oldest in the country. And something I'm excited that Jefferson Healthcare has done some work and thinking around is the idea of multi-generational care. And I think that has a lot of potential for success in our community. And so just want to put in a plug that, you know, this is not about caring for one or two generations. This is really a community health issue. And we have a lot of opportunity to address our solutions to the community that we have.
All right. Well, to be continued, that's for sure. We'll be back.
Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, Dunia Pho, Executive Director of Population Health Analytics and Statistics for Jefferson Healthcare, and Kate Dean, District 1 Commissioner for Jefferson County. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for joining us here on a really valuable and informed conversation today, and there's much more to dig into. So until next time, thanks for joining us on Community Tides.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.